Thank you very much, Helen. I just know that she's a daughter of Mother Maybelle. Some of you must know her, huh? If you want a title to my sermon, it's Let Every Light. And I noticed Mr. Shoemaker hit on it a little bit. But somewhere around 6,000 years ago, the earth was desolate planet. It was clouded in and shrouded of thick, murky darkness. The waters completely covering its surface, rolling and tossing in the endless night, whipped by the unobstructed winds, because there was nothing at that time to keep the winds from blowing back and forth across the waters. How long it had been like this, I reckon nobody knows but God. But then something momentous happened. Something took place. This event is described very well in Genesis 1. Let's turn back to Genesis 1. Probably know where I'm heading. Genesis 1, verse 3. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. You know, you could hear his voice above the churning waters, the black waters. You know, God was just waiting for the chance to say that. Can't you just hear him right now? Let there be light. He probably said it different than that, but yes, the time to start God's 7,000-year plan was then. Over that noisy, churning waves, you could hear it. And immediately, the blackness yielded as the awesome forces of the elements reacted to that voice, ordering it, let there be light. And with those words, God's plan was set into motion. At a command for illuminating of the dark planet. Yes, but at the same time, the words that launched God's plan reflects its outcome in a thrilling and an inspiring way. Brethren, we get to live that. It took time. It took the time, the hours would be very rewarding if you would just look up the words light, dark, day, night, and other related words to that. It would be rewarding to look them up just to see how much you could gather on that. Think about it, brethren. This world was in total darkness until God made light to shine. But the world hadn't always been in total darkness. When God first created the earth, perhaps millions of years ago, again, nobody knows for sure except God. Angelic beings described as morning stars. You'll find that in Job 38, verse 3. I'm not going to turn back there. Job 38, verse 3 says, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Many of those angels were given this earth as a place of habitation. Many of those angels were. They were ruled by the great archangel whose name was Lucifer. Lucifer, whose name meant light bringer, or shining star of the dawn. If you've been outside at night and looked up at a clear sky, there are many bright stars out there. Some nights it almost lights up the earth. I got to tell you, one time when I was down at Pinecrest, me and a couple other guys went out to the Ball Diamond. And Mr. Shoemaker knows how dark it is out there at 10 o'clock at night. And you look up at those stars, and there's millions of them. And some of them are really bright, and you can actually see to walk. With all those brilliant stars, those angels of light inhabited this earth. It must have been pretty bright at that time, at least spiritual speaking. Then tragedy occurred. Old Lucifer, he wasn't satisfied, was he, with this earth? He led a rebellion against the Almighty God. But that rebellion was not successful. Let's do turn to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, I'm going to read verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. Brethren, you think about it. And it's because of Satan that all the nations are being weakened today. Satan is the cause of it. Let's turn to Revelation 12. Read verse 9. Revelation 12, verse 9 says, So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast to earth, and his angels were cast out with him. It wasn't just Satan, his angels went with him. Now I'd like to turn back to Ephesians 6, verse 12 also. Ephesians 6, verse 12 says, For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's who we are wrestling against. So it was therefore fitting that the physical earth that was Satan's domain be in darkness and in confusion. Rendered that way by the titanic battle that Lucifer and his legion waged against the eternal and the hosts. So the earth came to be in desolate darkness until God intervened some 6,000 years ago to bring light. Some 6,000 years ago. And that's where I read Genesis 1, verse 3 through 5. Let there be light. There is something we can learn from this. As night coexists with day on our physical planet, so in the spiritual realm, Satan and his rulers of darkness now coexist on earth with his spiritual light. Do you know what that spiritual light on earth is, brethren? Let's turn to Matthew 5. We'll see what that spiritual light is. I know I've read this scripture several times, but I like it. Matthew 5, we're going to read verse 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And always think about that light is your example. So let your example shine no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing. Let that example shine. So spiritually speaking, God's true church is the only light on this planet. Let's turn to Revelation 1. Revelation 1, we're going to read verse 20. Revelation 1, verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. I'd like to turn back to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, we're going to read verse 8 through 11. Ephesians 5, verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Have you ever wondered how Satan recognizes who among the billions and billions of people now alive are God's people? Have you ever wondered how he knows that? How does he pick you out as a target of his attack if you are truly converted? How does he pick you out? You know, I've used this analogy before, where you scatter thousands of matches on a floor in a room. But there's one match that is special to you. You turn the light out. How are you going to find that match? You light it. Light that one match. And you can find it immediately. Brethren, God gives us light. Satan can see it. Satan hates it. But we got to stick with God. So here and there, a light shines. You, brethren, if God's Spirit is glowing in you, you are that light. Philippians 2. Let's turn to Philippians 2. Well, I know it's here. Philippians 2, verse 15. that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Satan sees you clearly, brethren, because your light does shine. Satan sees you clearly, and he can pick you out among those billions of people out in the world. And he sees God's church clearly. Satan hates what he sees, brethren. Turn to John 3. John 3, we're going to read verse 20 and 21. Verse 20, John 3, verse 20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Brother, that should really give you hope. That should just tickle you. Let your light so shine that Satan won't come around you. And how do you do that? By more prayer, more fasting, more studying. Let your light shine. Verse 21. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So determine, brethren, that your light shall continue to shine. Let there be light, is what God said. Always let there be light. I can remember living without electricity. I don't know how many of you started your life out without electricity. 11 years I lived without electricity. Had to get our lessons by the old coal oil lamps. How many times have you heard that? It was rough, but you know what? I bet God could still see that old coal oil lamp. Maybe some of our spiritual lights are not as bright as that coal oil lamp, not as bright as it should be. Those lamps I described, though, they need fuel to burn. Coal oil. A lot of young people don't know what coal oil is. But those lamps needed coal oil for their fuel. It makes them bright and keeps them burning. Brethren, we can't afford to let our lights go out. We also need fuel for our lights. Like those five virgins that's described in Matthew 25. You know, they didn't take enough fuel, did they? Some did, but that five didn't take enough fuel, and their lights went out. Went out at the wrong time. Let's turn back to Matthew 5. Now, I don't know why I put that scripture down again, but we just read it a while ago. But it's because I like it so well, I guess. But you can read it again. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So many words. That in so many words is what Jesus commands his followers to do. Let your light shine. In order to do that, we must seek an uninterrupted supply of God's Holy Spirit. An uninterrupted supply of God's Holy Spirit brightens our light. Turn back with me to Psalms 119. We're going to read verse 130 through 135. Psalms 119, verse 130. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Light, as long as it is allowed to shine, always overcomes darkness. You know, brethren, when you turn a light out in a dark room, when you turn a light out, the room just fills with darkness, doesn't it? And when you turn the light back on, where does that darkness go? You know what? It's still there. If you don't believe me, turn the light back out. It didn't go anywhere. It's still there. It's still there. It's just overcome by light. Think about that, brethren. It's overcome by light. Satan loves darkness. But God gives you light. And that light will overcome Satan. But you got to put it to work. Light and darkness just cannot get along together. When you turn that light switch off, like I said, it gets dark. 2 Corinthians 6. It seems like our lights are flickering. Second Corinthians 6, verse 14. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? The Apostle Paul further amplified this, if you'll turn back to Ephesians 5 again. Ephesians 5, we'll read verse 8 again through 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Members of the church are to let their light shine. You can't hear light. You don't hear it. Your light shines by the example you set. Your example is seen, just as lights is seen. Your example is seen. If you are a Christian, there must be a contrast, as clearly as light contrasts with darkness, between the way you do things, your outlook, your attitude, your total purpose in life, in that of the world, or something is amiss. If that doesn't happen, I have to have a drink. When you are tempted, you know, to blend in with darkness, to partake of things hidden in shadows, to do what you know you should not be doing, God holds of yourself and thinks, what maybe you say out loud, you can say it. Let there be light. You know, Bible prophecies show as the day of the Lord is the time God intervenes in world affairs, punishes rebellious nations at the return of Jesus Christ. Brethren, you know, we must never lose sight of the destiny. I can't talk this morning. The destiny we have before us. If you'll turn to James 1, James 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. There's no darkness in God, brethren. No darkness in God. No shadow. He clothes himself in light. I like to go back to Psalms 104. Psalms 104, we're going to read verse 2. It says, who cover yourself with light as with a garment? Who stretch out the heavens like a curtain? God does. Jesus, being the brightness of God's glory, shines as the sun in its full strength. Do you ever try to look up at the sun on a bright day? He is the bright and morning star, and we shall be like him, brethren. We're going to be like him someday, and that's part of our inheritance. Think about that, brethren. That's part of our inheritance. I'll turn to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 43. Matthew 13, verse 43, it says, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Daniel 12:3. This will be my last scripture, Daniel 12:3. Daniel 12:3, it says, "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Brethren, let's let that be our destiny. And remember, let there be light.